Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Microsoft Teams is helping Priority Bicycles transform the way they work. After closing their New York City showroom, they started doing virtual visits on Teams. Now, people from all over the world can come into their showroom. Learn more at Microsoft.com/Teams.
Welcome to the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast. Time for the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast.
Folks, it's that time, and I am so happy this week. It's that time for the MIP. Man, with my bad knees and all, I want to jump and touch the ceiling because the news have been so great. Let's jump into this. Dak Prescott, the deal finally gets done. And the tag, the franchise tag. Speaking of the franchise tag, then we're going to break down the players that got tagged. And what surprises me most are the players that did not get tagged. But 10 minutes after he got tagged by the Chicago Bears, he was tagged right here by the MIP. That's right. We caught up with Allen Robinson 10 minutes after he got the phone call from the Chicago Bears about him being tagged as the franchise player. You will hear all of his reaction and all of his raw feelings about it all right here on the MIP. But let's jump right into this. The Dak Prescott stuff. First of all, let me share my feelings. Thank God it is done. And I will tell you what I text Dak. I said, man, I'm so happy. Congratulations that you will be our quarterback leading all of our hopes and dreams for the Dallas Cowboys into the near future. And I meant it. I trust him with my hopes and my dreams. And I'm telling all the Cowboy fan base, you should trust him with your hopes and your dreams. And let me tell you why. I said this the other day on my buddy's show, on Stephen A. Smith's show, that Dak Prescott is the most like Tom Brady in the National Football League right now. Boy, that ruffles some feathers. And that's okay with me. I don't mind your feather being ruffled. I don't mind it at all. I don't mind your hair being ruffled. I need to move and park your hair so I can crack your cranium and fertilize your brain and give you some knowledge on what I'm talking about. And that's what I'm about to do right now. Let me help you with this. Both of these guys, Dak Prescott and Tom Brady, both were late round draft picks. Tom, sixth round, 199th pick. Dak, fourth round, 135th pick. So both of these guys did it the old fashioned way. They worked their way up. That's to be respected. In this league. That's to be respected in any field you go in. When you hear about the dude that started in the mailroom and now he's the CEO. Oh, you respect him more than if his daddy owned the company and all of a sudden he's the CEO. Because you know that man put in strife. He put in the work. He sweat blood and tears to get the way he is. And when you're a late round draft pick, nobody gives you anything. You know Dak Prescott, just like Tom Brady, put in the work to get to where they are. That's number one. Because in order to do anything, I first must have your respect of this thing I'm trying to do. So you earn the respect by working your way up from the round six to the starting quarterback, a round four to a starting quarterback. That's a similarity that I love about both of them. Now, let me break down some of the things that also make that other things that make them similar. Both of these guys, when they hit the field, they won early. Tom Brady didn't hit the field right away. He got a chance to sit up under Drew Bledsoe. Remember that, Drew Bledsoe for a few years and learn from Drew. And also he played with and played for, I won't even say arguably. It just is. the greatest coach in NFL history and Bill Belichick. The greatest coach in NFL history and Bill Belichick. He got a chance to learn up under him. Now, Dak Prescott, he hit the field early. He won early. He didn't have a quarterback in front of him where he could learn from a great quarterback. Because remember, Tony Romo got hurt that year, and that's when Dak had to step up. And I'm going to break down that story on how Dak got that job when I was with Jerry Jones. I will share it with you. He won early. He won over all of his teammates because they watched how he worked his way up. He's a great leader. You saw what it was like without him last year for the Dallas Cowboys. That drop off was steep. He's a great leader. You saw Tom Brady leave one team and go to another and lead that team to a Super Bowl because Tom's a great leader. Now, you will have players follow that guy. You'll have them follow Tom Brady. They will follow Dak Prescott. And there's nothing more important in the National Football League than leadership. Look at what's happening to Carson Wentz and all of that stuff over there. It wasn't that he didn't have physical skill set. Everybody is talking about his leadership. He had to be moved out of a locker room because people questioned his leadership. That's not the case with Tom Brady, of course, because he's already shown, but that's not the case with Dak Prescott. Nobody questions his leadership. This is what I'm talking about when I say he's the most like Tom Brady. I would say to you, if you gave Dak Prescott Bill Belichick, as smart as he is and how great is how good he is at learning, there's no doubt in my mind he would have done the same things that you are seeing Tom Brady do. Tom learned a great deal from Bill Belichick, and he took all that he learned from Bill over and implemented it in Tampa. You go back and look at Tampa last year. They were one of the teams that made the most mistakes on a football field, most penalties, all of that stuff. That stopped when Tom got there. Why couldn't it stop before Tom got there? You know why it couldn't stop? It's not like Bruce Arians didn't want it to stop. Bruce Arians wanted it to stop. But they didn't have the leadership that demanded each player minds every bit of his game. Tom Brady brought that leadership. Dak Prescott has that leadership. When I'm talking about these things, this is what I'm talking about. And I want you to understand, I don't mind that you have something to say about what I say. Just give me a reasonable argument. Get the hell out of here with all of that. Mike, you must be high. That tells me you must be empty. That's all you got to say? If you disagree and tell me why you disagree. Don't be all on my social media line and all you can say is, Mike, you must be high. Come on, man. Get in the game. Open up your brain and use it. Don't go there. Give me something so I can debate back or I can educate you on what I mean and why I said it. This kid has those gathering qualities. No matter what he does, he's going to be successful at it. No matter what he does. Dak Prescott, given the right tools, and he has the right tools around him, given the opportunity to continue to learn this game, there is no get in it and you know it right away. You got to learn it, and there are things that people around you will teach you and you will glean from them. Tom had the upper hand, and he had a great quarterback, a first pick in the draft, and Drew Bledsoe, that he learned from. Tony Romo wasn't a first pick in the draft. He was a non-drafted quarterback, but he still did great things. But Dak didn't get a few years up under him. Dak had to learn on the run. Give Dak time. I think in the end, you'll see exactly what I mean, that he is the most like Tom Brady. One last thing on this, guys, I'm going to tell you this. Very rarely do you have the heart and the soul of your football team playing the quarterback position. We always talk about quarterbacks being, I don't know, they're the leaders, and they are leaders. But they're not all born to be leaders. And they're certainly not born to be the heart and soul of a football team. Tom Brady has been the heart and soul of his football team. When Tom Brady got hurt, Bill Belichick still won 10 games. Bill Belichick did okay last year, and he didn't have all those people opt out. I'm just telling you that because Bill Belichick is great. When Dak Prescott got hurt, Cowboys season was basically over. Because not that they don't have talent. Not that they don't have talent. They don't have a heart and soul on that football field like Dak Prescott. I'm telling you, folks, watch this. I bet it. I put it on Stephen A. I made the bet. I said, I guarantee you Dak will win a Super Bowl within this contract. And Stephen A. took the bet. And if Dak wins a Super Bowl within this contract, Stephen A. has to come to my house. He's going to put on a made uniform. And I'm going to put on, clean my whole house, all 20,000 square feet up. When I put him in that made uniform, we're going to put him with some fishnet stockings. And I'm going to show tap him on his butt a couple of times as he walk by me. I know. I'm going to just tap him. Come on, clean up. It's going to be cool. And don't you worry. I promise you, I'm going to put it all over my social media. Stephen A. in a made uniform cleaning my house, and then he's going to MC the parade. That's right. It's going to be the funnest stuff in the world, folks. And you better believe it's going to happen because there's no doubt in my mind Dak Prescott will win a Super Bowl in this contract. That I am telling you right here. And before I move on, I want to share that story that I told you what happened and how Dak got this job and when I was with Jerry. And get this, and this is why I said the Cowboys would end up in SoFi. This journey for Dak Prescott started in L.A. when they had opened up the stadium. So now this thing, his first Super Bowl, will be in L.A. It'll be at SoFi. But when they open up that stadium, the first time the Rams returned to the NFL, L.A., got football again, the Cowboys played the Rams in the preseason game. I was in the box with Jerry Jones. Jerry and I are sitting in the box. The Cowboys had just had a horrible season because Tony Romo got hurt, and we brought in all the backup quarterbacks. Oh, my God, the Brandon Whedons and all these dudes. I mean, it's the worst thing in the world. It's the worst thing in the world. And then then Tony Romo got hurt again. Dak Prescott was playing that game. I'm sitting in the box with Jerry Jones. Dak Prescott throws a touchdown in the left-hand corner to Dez Bryant. Jerry, everybody jumps up. Oh, my God, you see that throw? Did you see that throw? Did you see that play? And everybody's going crazy in the box. I said, boss, calm down and sit down with me. He said, did you see that throw? Did you see? I said, boss, you're looking at the wrong thing. I said, don't look at the throw. Look at the sideline. Look at the sideline, man. You see all of those players were towing the line on the sideline. They were not talking about the touchdown throw. They were talking and looking at the quarterback. They had gone through a season of backup quarterbacks. I said to Jerry, and we were talking about it in the box. He said, I'm thinking about bringing in another backup. I said, you cannot do that. You cannot do that. I said, you look at that sideline. You know, what does that tell you? He said, what do you mean, Michael? I said, that sideline tells you these guys have hope. They're towing the line right now because they have hope in that young man right there named Dak Prescott. And I said, Jerry, always remember this. Hope will dictate effort. When you give somebody great hope, they're going to give you great effort. If they have little hope, it's human nature to give little effort because you have little hope. And Dak Prescott gives this team hope. If you go back to a backup who has already failed wherever he was before he got here, then you give this team little hope and you will get little effort and you will be in a bad situation. Jerry said, Michael, I never thought about it. I said, I know, because I have been the heart and soul of a football team that won Super Bowls. Not a Super Bowl. I always tell people I'm an S brother. You know what an S brother is? That means everything you mention, every time you mention me, you put an S on the end of it. I won Super Bowls, and I won on all levels. I'm an S brother. So you listen to what I'm telling you when I'm telling you hope matters. I made sure my guys saw me put in the work, all kind of work. I went, when we ran 16 110s, I put on a 30-pound vest. I ran 32. Because I'm telling them, you follow me. You follow me and we will win. I was giving them hope. That Prescott gives them hope. What do you think Tom Brady gave Tampa Bay? It was damn near the same team as the year before with Jameis Winston. But Jameis Winston, God bless his soul, didn't give them the hope that Tom Brady gave them. That's what won. Hope. So all you that come at me like I'm absolutely crazy, I'm telling you, crack your cranium and open up your brain and understand it's not just about skill. This game sometimes and most of the time is about will, and your will attach to hope. And that's what Dak Prescott gives, hope. Now, you got some arguments or some discussion. You guys got me. You can hit me. You can talk to me. But don't come at me with that dumb shit. Because the only thing I'm high on is life. And educating you also. I like that part, too. Before I get out of here and get to Allen Robinson, because there's so much, I got to talk about this franchise tag stuff. I was surprised, not by who got tagged, but really by who did not get tagged. And I'll hit that right fast, because I expected most of the guys that got tagged to get tagged, to be honest with you. You know, and it was so great, too. I'm going to tell you something. It was so great to talk to Allen Robinson 10 minutes after he got tagged. It was so great, and you got to hear this conversation. This dude here is a great dude to talk to. You'll hear. You got to hear that conversation. But we knew that Allen Robinson, the Cam Robinson, Justin Simmons, Leonard Williams, Marcus Williams, all of these guys got tagged. The Chris Godwins. I expected all of those guys to get tagged. I expected them because they're great players. Now, what I expected also, Kenny Golladay and Aaron Jones to get tagged, but they did not get tagged, and that's surprising. And when I look farther into it, like, why wouldn't you tag? I'm like, okay, let's break this down. Why would the Packers not tag Aaron Jones? And I know it has something to do with everybody's talking about the running back position, and you could just keep plugging and playing the running back positions. But, man, Green Bay had been looking for a running game for a long time. And Aaron Jones finally gave them some stability at the position, or did he, I should say. Why wouldn't you tag Kenny Golladay? Kenny Golladay's a bad boy, a true number one receiver. And you say, well, at least, even though if they're starting over, they give me some stability at the position by keeping Kenny Golladay, but does he really give you some stability at the position? And you go deeper and you say, yes, these guys have great ability, but the greatest ability is availability. And in the last 4 years, each one of these guys only played a full 16-game season once. That's it right there. The type of money that these guys are about to command, you can't have sitting on the sideline. You can't have sitting in the tub. That will devastate your club. The best ability is to have your butt available. That's it. And that's what these guys have to overcome. Now, you get into free agency, somebody's going to pay these guys. Stephen Jones and the Cowboys, they always think, you know, in free agency, you're going to pay 25% higher than probably the player's worth. That's a minimum of 25% higher than probably the player's worth. You know, so these guys are going to get great contracts and going to bring about great pressure. And I hope wherever they go that they find a way to stay healthy and live up to what's about to be demanded of them when they get these contracts. I like both of them. They're good players. They're very good players when they are on the football field. But if you're not on the football field, I don't care how good you are, you give me, what did I tell you? No hope. The man that obviously gives Chicago Bears some hope. That's why they franchise tagged him, and we got him right after they tagged him. That next, Allen Robinson from the Chicago Bears on the MIP. Folks, hit me with something. Just don't hit me with dummy stuff. All right? I don't mind talking about it, but check out Allen Robinson next. Microsoft Teams is helping Priority Bicycles reinvent the way they work. When the pandemic hit, the bike shop had to close their New York City showroom. They found a way to reopen by doing virtual visits on Teams. Now, the team can meet with two or three times the number of customers than they could before. And people from all over the world can visit their showroom, learn more about their story and others at Microsoft.com/Teams. Joining the MIP is just the hottest receiver. It would have been the hottest receiver on the market today, right now in free agency, but word just came down 10 minutes before we had this conversation that the Bears do plan on franchise tagging this man. I always say, if you ever get great, you can't let it walk. And that's what the Bears are trying to say. We shall talk about that with this man. He's 6'2", 220. Now, I stood next to this man. 6'2", yes, 220. Allen, we got to talk about that. Born in Detroit, Michigan. Attended Penn State University. Was a second-round draft pick. 61st overall to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Let me just talk about some of the records that this man owned. In Jacksonville, longest play from scrimmage, that's a 90-yarder. Most receiving TDs in a season, that's 14. Most receiving TDs in a game with three. Most games with 150 yards, that's three. Multiple TD receiving games, three of those. And then he came over to most receptions in the playoff game, in a playoff game, 10 for the Bears. And most yards in a playoff game, 143 yards in a playoff game in 2018. He is a Pro Bowler. He is my man, Allen Robinson. Allen, thanks for taking the time to join.
Thanks for having me.
The MIP. Let's jump right into it because just a few minutes ago, we're sitting here waiting to talk with you, and the news broke. And I don't know if you heard the news, but that the Bears do plan on franchise tagging Allen Robinson. What are your thoughts to that? And have you heard it? When did you hear it? Or what are your thoughts to that?
Yeah, I actually just heard it. You know, my thoughts is, you know, it's a tough situation. You know, I hope that, you know, with being tagged, that it still, you know, hopes, you know, by me being under the tag, you know, to be able to get a long-term contract. You know, I think that when you speak in terms of a player and when you go out there every day, and not only do you put it on the line for yourself as a player in your career, but also to be able to get that long-term contract. You know, so for myself, I feel like I personally put myself in that situation. You know, ever since my third year in the league, each and every year, I've continued to get better, you know, and I definitely can say now that that's not going to stop anyway. You know, so again, when I first came to Chicago, I was coming off my injury. I think I had like 700 and some yards then, you know, and then I was 100% fully healed. You know, I had 1,100. Then, you know, 1,200 this past season. And for myself, just from a production standpoint, you know, number will continue to go up, you know, because like I said before, for myself, I'm only getting better each and every year.
And just so people understand, and I get calls, Allen, and I texted and told you that I get calls from other teams, and they're always asking me about you. You know, what do you think about this kid? What do you think about this dude? And I tell you what I told him. I said, Allen can do for the right team what we saw Diggs do or Hopkins do for those teams when they got him. Now, what you just said, though, the greatness in what you just said is you've improved every year, and you've improved every year individually with quarterbacks that we will still say still trying to prove themselves in this league, you know. So you're keeping yourself up there with guys that have some top quarterbacks. How much do you think about that?
Yeah, I don't honestly, Mike, I don't really think about that too much. You know, like I said, you know, for my second year in Jacksonville, after I went to the Pro Bowl, you know, and then my third year, I believe I went from 1,400 yards to about 800 yards. And that entire offseason, that really stuck with me because we had a quarterback situation kind of going on. Our offensive coordinator was fired. Our head coach was fired. And in that offseason, after that third season, I told myself, I'll never let anything from the outside affect my game ever again. You know, that's when I'm working out, when I'm training, when I'm doing all those things, you know, I kind of joke and say that I'm foolproof in my game, you know, because for me, it's like when I step out there on that line, the only thing I care about and the only thing that I'm concerned with is how can I help my team and how can I produce? You know, the quarterback is not, you know, too much in my mind, the play call and none of that. You know, I'm strictly focused on how can I be the best me and bring the player that I am to the table week in and week out.
Yeah, but you're a competitor, Alan. You're a competitor. And right now you're in a competitive situation. That's what you're trying to tell the Bears. Listen, pay me like the top guys. I remember when Chris Carter called me, I was the highest paid receiver at the time, and he was negotiating with Minnesota. And he was trying to get some intricate parts of my deal. And he said, I said, well, how's it going with them? And he said, I went in, I asked for this. And they said to me, listen, you're not Michael Irvin. And I said to them, I am your Michael Irvin, and you're going to pay me like that, you know? So as you compete with the top guys around the league, that's what you want to beat them. You want to beat them on the field, but do you not want to at least be in that category when it comes to contract also? DeAndre
Most Hopkins definitely.
And all of these guys, right?
Most definitely. You know, again, like you said, you know, when you kind of break it down, you know, for myself, I saw a stat over the recent weeks of, you know, I'm third in the league over the past two seasons in yards, you know, behind Diggs and behind, you know, DeAndre Hopkins. But, you know, I mean, those are the only two guys, you know. So, I mean, even when it comes to catches and things like that, you know, across the board, you know, my numbers and resume speaks for themselves, you know, which also makes a situation a little bit tough for the players because it's like, I mean, you know what you've done and you also know what you're capable of. You know, like I said, for myself, you know, I'm just now really getting into my prime. You know, I'm 27 now. I still got a ton of football ahead of me. You know, so I'm not in a situation where, you know, I'm towards the end of my career or anything like that. You know, and then for myself, I believe from a leader standpoint, I mean, I haven't had a losing season in 4 years. You know, even dating back to my last year in Chicago, I got hurt. But, I mean, if you ask any of those guys from the team, you know, my teammates, you know, I personally feel like I was a big part of that culture. And, you know, that's something that we built. You know, it took everybody in that locker room, everybody who kind of was drafted there to Jacksonville to kind of turn the tide, you know, and they end up going to the AFC championship, you know, which also for myself was tough not being able to play in that game. Cause I feel like if I was on the field in that sense, when they lost in the AFC championship, I feel like we were a Super Bowl team. Then I went to Chicago and over the past 3 years, you know, I mean, we had 2 years at 8-8, but again, we haven't had a losing season.
Right. And Alan, think about what you just said, though, the improvement in the years that you're putting in, the other guys around you. You just talked about it. Diggs had two pretty good quarterbacks. I mean, he went from Kirk Cousins to Josh Allen. DeAndre Hopkins, you go from Deshaun Watson to Kyler Murray. What now, if you and I are sitting here talking about this, let's be real. The front office of Chicago, they know this, too. You did it with not those Pro Bowl quarterbacks. You know what I mean? So why is it difficult for you to get the respect or the contract that you deserve, you know, from the Chicago Bears?
You know, again, I mean, that's tough for me to answer. You know, I'm not up in the front office, so I don't really know in terms of that. You know, and again, I mean, with the quarterbacks and people that I play with, you know, I mean, those are my guys, you know, and we all put in a lot of work together, you know. So for myself, it's like, you know, I don't really, you know, I can't put myself in their position to think as to why, you know, whatever the case of matter is. But, you know, like I said before, you know, all I can kind of do is sit back and look at what I've done and continue to improve on that, you know. Because, again, even for myself sitting here right now, you know, no matter what the contract situation is, you know, in my training process now, I'm still working to, you know, be able to improve the things that I feel like I didn't do well last year. You know, I mean, that's a big part of me and a big part of my game is each and every year really grinding it out, making sure I'm continue to polish my strengths and continue to improve on my weaknesses and get better year in and year out.
You said something earlier about being able, after that year in Jacksonville, you said, okay, this will not happen again. Now I'm going to block out everything that's going on outside and focus on the football field and produce. And you did that this year. I know in September, you know, you guys were trying to get an extension. You stopped following, and everybody made big news about you stopped following the Bears and everything. And you didn't get the extension, but you were able to refocus. And as you said, have your best year in Chicago. Talk to me about that.
Yeah.
Was that?
It wasn't so much difficult. At the end of the day, I want to be a Hall of Fame player. So every time I line up, when I go to practice, you know, when I'm in meetings, as I'm watching film and breaking down the details of our concepts and stuff like that, you know, that's something that I have in my mind. You know, I owe it too much to myself and to my family and the people around me to be able to ever let my game dip. You know, that's something that, again, like when it's right now, I'm training. You know, I'll be training down in South Florida over the summer, waking up at 7 o'clock, you know, pulling sleds and doing all that. So it's far too much work put in to ever let something, you know, sidetrack me and sidetrack my performance. You know, at the end of the day, you know, I'm a person who obviously wants a contract and things like that. But, you know, I want to be able to put myself in a position to be able to say I've done everything in my power to, when it's all said and done, to try to be able to put on a yellow jacket.
And getting on that yellow jacket, I was reading somewhere where you talked about it. You said, listen, to get that yellow jacket, you got to be playing in the right kinds of games. You got to be winning the championships, man. You know, do you think that's possible where you are right now in Chicago? Is this team set up to get you in those right kind of games and win championships?
Yeah, you know, I think we definitely had a talent too. You know, even kind of dating back to my first year in Chicago, you know, when I played in that playoff game, you know, I was telling my dad, I remember playing in my little league playoff games, you know, and kind of the feeling that I had even in those. And then when it came to getting into the playoffs now in NFL, it was everything I dreamed of, especially because I didn't get a chance, opportunity to play in those games in Jacksonville, you know. So for me, those things are extremely important. You know, again, you want to be playing. I tell everybody, you want to be, when you're in the NFL, you want to be playing meaningful games into December, January, and in hopes and playing in February. That's what this game is about. That's what everybody puts in the work for, you know. So, again, I mean, I personally feel like, though, you know, no matter what situation, no matter what team that I'm in, you know, I can help get a team to that standpoint to be able to compete and get to the playoffs and contend for a Lombardi trophy.
And the mentality right there makes all the difference in the world. You know, Jerry and I got in negotiations one time, and I was like, Jerry, listen, he was like, well, you know, being a Cowboy is something different, Michael. You could be in Cincinnati. You know, I said, we could win in Cincinnati if I'm in Cincinnati. Hey, he said, well, it was Carl Pickens at the time. He was thinking, you know, I could certainly call Cincinnati, but get Carl Pickens. I said, you can get Carl Pickens and send me to Cincinnati. I guarantee you they will start winning when I get there. You know what I mean? And I believe that. And I believe that, you know what I mean? And I know you believe that.
I'm the same way. Yeah, I'm the same way. You know, it's like, you know, when you have a person who, when you believe yourself to be a multiplier, you know, especially not in a selfish way, you know, when you're able to help, you know, feed the brains of your young teammates and to be able to help, you know, kind of establish a culture, whether that's practice and things like that. And you're really able to try to help make everybody around you and become a servant leader on the team, you do have the ability to kind of, you know, multiply guys and for guys to be able to play better and really dig down when they need to in crunch time and in times that may not be, you know, looking the best, you have that ability, you know. So, I mean, for myself, you know, I think that's something I've been able to do and been blessed to do throughout my entire football playing career, you know, and I definitely feel the same now.
Hey, Rod, you know, AR, man, listen. You know, I love to talk to you. You know, I told you years ago at the Super Bowl, I said, boy, you know, you remind me the most of Mike Irvin. I told you that, you know, and I swear to you, man, I promise you, when a dude called me, when some of the teams called me, that's what they say to me, too. And I don't know if they heard me say it or what, but that's what they said. Boy, he goes hard, he competes, he'll go up against anybody. I mean, it just says something. And what you were talking about right now, that's the difference. When you, it's not game time's going to be what it is. But if you set that tone in practice, like we're going to do it like this. You come out here now, we're going to go at it. Are you my boy? When we leave here, we're going to be boys. but we gonna go at it on this football field. That sets the tone, man. AR, and that's everything. I heard I heard your coach Nagy talking about AR knows, Allen knows how much we love him. He knows how much we love him. He knows how much he means to us. Do you know that? Do they make you feel they love you and make you know that they really want you in Chicago?
Yeah, you know, again, I know the relationship that I have with those guys, you know, and I've even said this, you know, and I've created a ton of relationships, you know, throughout Chicago, very strong relationships, you know, but at the end of the day, especially when you get into situations like this, you know, that's tough to just sit back and rely on, you know, as far as somebody saying that, you know, and because I do know that, you know, and like I said before, I have a ton of respect and stuff for them as well. You know, but I mean, when you get into the business aspect of it, you know, it's a little bit more than just that. You know, it's a little bit more than just, you know, how much. Like I said, I love the city of Chicago. You know, again, I had nothing but exciting experiences there. You know, been to the playoffs twice. You know, haven't had a losing season. You know, have some productive years. But at the end of the day, you know, love is not just something. That's not the only thing when it comes to. You know, as everybody knows, you know, again, I mean, it's a business, you know, and it's a game, you know, of business. So I do understand and feel, you know, how they feel about me. But again, at the same time, you know, it's a little bit more to that.
Yeah, I love your love. But I love your love if it comes with bags of money, too. Now, I love it even more. That's just the kind of love. And tell them like I used to, like I told Jerry, I said, man, I love football. I play it for free. But my wife and my mama, they want that money. I'll do it for free, but you got to give them what they want. And that's just the reality. Allen, you know, I know, man. I know you're going to, and no doubt you got the great look. I'm talking to you. You got the great voice, you know, the great presence, and you're a great speaker. So I know you'll be in my business one day. I know you aspire to be in the sportscasting business, and you're starting early. I read this tweet today. Per source, Andre Drummond will be signing with the Nets. They get some reinforcement on the defensive end in the glass. Look for them to still be active around the trade deadline. LOL. Come on, man. I was like, now, wait a minute. There's a lot in here. He's reporting some news, and is he sending out any signals? Talk to me about this tweet and you getting into this business here. Talk to me
It's no signals at all. And actually, from just my experiences, you know, with the late great Eugene Parker, you know, he actually inspired me to want to become an agent. But So again, based on some things, and I do feel like Andre Drummond, and that's also again pending that the Pistons buy him out, which I ultimately think is going to happen. I do see him signing with the Nets. I do see that happening.
And making that a super team.
Making that a very, very super team. They just got Blake Griffin. And, right. You know, with Andre Drummond, you know, getting bought out, I think he'll go to the Nets. And I also think that the Nets will get another player, probably a guard along the way as well, to kind of finalize their roster up into the trade deadline.
Okay, now, you see, when you report stuff like that and everybody starts saying, oh, Allen Robinson doesn't just catch touchdowns. He's catching and breaking news too now. You know, you're out here. And then you end it with the LOL. People start wondering, are you trying to say, boy, you wouldn't mind being traded to a great team? Or you know what I mean? So there's no subliminals in this is what you're telling
me. No.
This is just a straight report. There's no subliminals.
Yeah. You know, I put the LOL in there, you know, because I didn't want to step on any breaking news toes, you know. So, you know, I just thought I, you know, throw the LOL in to just lighten up the mood a little bit. But no, it was no subliminals in there.
Okay. Chicago's not letting you go. They're not letting you go. I see Golladay. They're talking about not franchise tagging them. Of course, franchise tagging Godwin and everything. They're not letting you go. But in your mind, you had to be prepared for this to go either way. Was there any team out there that you were looking at possibly landing with that you thought you could make the difference for and get over that hump that you talked about earlier?
Yeah. To be honest, I hadn't really, you know, wrapped my head around too much with this kind of being more so the highest of probabilities, you know. But again, I mean, with a lot of the teams out there that are kind of in the receiver market, you know, I think that a lot of those teams are, you know, a possible receiver away from getting better. You know, I think that Kenny Galladay is a heck of a player, you know, and I think wherever he goes, I think he'll be able to really help that team out and really leave an impact, you know, and I think that for myself, you know, I feel like, you know, if I had hit the free agent market, you know, I would have done the same thing, you know, just again, based on just sheer performance and based on, you know, some of those teams out there that also have, you know, good players in the receiving core as well, who were possibly going to be in the receiver market.
But you do know how hard it is. To do what Tom Brady did this year. Tom Brady jumped one team, went to another. And Alan, you know, in the locker room, to come together in one, especially a COVID offseason like they did, that's not something that's easy to do. And he got it done. Do you believe that you could have gotten something like that done?
I think it's a little bit different, you know, playing a receiver rather than quarterback. But, you know, I think, you know, as far as dropping a veteran into a locker room, into a good culture, you know, into a budding team, you know, that's pretty much the same situation that I came into in Chicago. You know, it was a new head coach. You know, they had some young players, you know, they signed me, they drafted a couple players, you know, and even before that, you know, people – you know, thought it was crazy by me going there. You know, in our first season, we went 12-4, you know, went to the playoffs, you know, won the division, you know, and I think that, you know, again, I mean, I wasn't the only person that partook in that, you know, but, you know, being a part of the culture, you know, if you get a couple guys, you know, that can really help to build that, you know, again, then you start to see a lot of those younger players start to ascend as well.
You Pro Football Focus have you the number one ranked wide receiver on the market right now. The number one ranked wide receiver. That would have, you know, last year is the number one ranked wide receiver. Amari Cooper, well, a top ranked wide receiver last year. He got offered 22 million, I think, from Washington. Came back to Dallas and took 20 million. Alan, you just talked about it. The first time you hit that market, you're coming off a knee surgery. Second time you're hitting the market, you're dealing with the COVID situation. And now they're placing a franchise tag on you know, I never had a possibility of being a total free agent. But can you imagine the type of numbers that will be thrown if you were, like they said, the number one ranked free agent out there to wide receiver and you actually was not franchised? How can you not think about those numbers even when you got to negotiate with Chicago?
Yeah, you know, and that's, again, that's what makes the situation tough. You know, I mean, from the outside looking in, I mean, we all know how the free agent market goes and what happens in that, especially with some of the top tier players, you know, that are on the market, you know, and then as some of the, a lot of the other top tier players aren't able to hit the market, you know, even as far as Dak Prescott, you know, Dak got an incredible deal and we see the deal that Dak just got, you know, and I can only imagine by him possibly being a free agent that the deal would have been that much sweeter, you know, so. Right. And that's across the board. Like you said, we see that every year, you know, with guys like Amari Cooper, you know, no matter who it is, you know, we do see that when guys hit the market, you know, how much, you know, they get paid and how their value is judged in the open market, you know. So, and that's what makes the situation tough is because when you don't hit the open market as a player, you still know what the possible ceiling of your market is. You know, that's something that you, when you sit back down with you and your agent, you know the possibility and you know the market, you know, and that's something that players know. You know, it's not something that anybody is, you know, even a person like Kenny G, you know, I don't know what the negotiations and how they were going with Detroit, but I'm sure Kenny Galladay and his agent knew the market. You know, they knew what would happen if Kenny G ultimately hit free agency like he had, you know, and I'll be very curious and excited to see, you know, what happens with that, you know, because everything that he's going to get, you know, he's earned. You know, and that's another thing, you know, as far as players is players aren't just, you know, getting these contracts and stuff based off of sheer luck. You know, I mean, guys are going out and putting it all on the line and really earning it.
Right. And in this league, nobody's giving anything.
Nothing's given.
You don't get anything in this league. Anything you get, you've earned. And honestly, whatever you've earned, you really earn more because they're never going to give you all you really want. That's just
the business. Now you're preaching.
That's the business we are in. One last thing, and then I want to ask you about your quarterback situation with Chicago. Where do you see yourself ranked in this? Now, I'm going to call out the top guys right now around the league and even what they're getting paid. DeAndre Hopkins, he signed a two-year, $54 million extension, which put him $27 million a piece. The real number is probably Julio Jones. He's at $22 million a year. And then Keenan Allen at 20. Amari Cooper is at 20, like I just talked about. Michael Thomas at 19. A.J. Green at 18. Tyreek Hill at 18. Odell Beckham at 18. Where does Allen Robinson rank among these top receivers in the NFL?
Yeah, you know, I think that one, I'll pay a lot of respect to all those dudes, you know, especially Keenan Allen, Amari Cooper, Julio Jones, you know, especially when you break down their tape and see what they do, Devontae Adams, DeAndre Hopkins, all those dudes, you know, at the same time, when you break it down, because you know how we're judged off of wins and losses. We're judged off of numbers. Those are the things that we judged off of, you know? So, I mean, when you break down the numbers, like I said, you know, over the past 2 years, you know, I'm third in yards behind DeAndre Hopkins and behind Stephon Diggs, you know? So it's like when you break down the catches and touchdowns and all that stuff, you know, I mean, that's all we can go by. You know, like people say, men lie, women lie, numbers don't, you know? And that's another thing that makes it tough is when you're able to sit back and look at that and look at the work that you've put in and the things that you've done, you know, it's hard to sit back, you know, and say that you can, you know, do or take anything less than what you feel your value is.
Microsoft Teams is helping Priority Bicycles transform the way they work. After closing their New York City showroom, they started doing virtual visits on Teams. Now, people from all over the world can come into their showroom. Learn more at Microsoft.com/Teams. You're a smart guy, man, and I love the way you broke it down, because I was just, you know, I got to study and read everything, and I was reading how you broke down what Chicago went through this year, even changing the quarterbacks, and how you basically had to play two different styles of offense, and you still came up with 1,250 yards. Break down how each of those quarterbacks made the game different that you had to prepare for with Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah, so going from more so kind of like a West Coast style with Nick, you know, being able to run more, you know, with him kind of getting the ball out, you know, being able to run, again, choice routes and things like that, you know. And then on the contrary to, you know, when we're going with Mitch, it's more of a, you know, we're running play action and being able to use his mobility and get it out on the run, you know, so running some more deep crosses and things like that. But I will say this, you know, I'm very glad that I had the opportunity to experience that, because this is a year in my career kind of knowing, once we even brought in the offensive coordinator at the beginning of the season, this was a year where I had to really hone in on running dagger routes, really hone in on running bang eights, and going into the season that was something that I knew. And I had wrote in my notebook, you know, I wanted to catch, you know, 14 to 15 daggers. You know, I wanted to catch, you know, about the same amount of dig routes and things like that. And those were things that I hadn't caught yet in my career, you know. So being able to have that versatility, you know, with the two quarterbacks this year really helped me take my game to another level and really be able to create some explosive plays by catching deep crosses, by catching daggers, by catching 18-yard dig routes, you know. So, I mean, just as tough as it was, you know, it also was a blessing for me, because going up into this year, I maybe have caught in Chicago, maybe I'll probably say about 4 to 6 daggers maybe, and that's kind of daggers and bang eights. And for me, I was really looking forward to going into games, you know, running some of those routes and being able to get the catch and run opportunities and some of the more intermediate things that I hadn't been able to kind of showcase and do in my career.
That's my offense right there. That bang eight, them deep ends. You can't stop me on that now. But let me explain to the people. Now, this is the part that I get upset about, because these bang eights now, you know, the bang eight used to be bang, bang, because the safety will bust you in the mouth. And Norv Turner would always tell me, go up big, Mike. It hits coming. Go up big. You just got to go and take that hit. Now, you know, those bang eights, you can't necessarily hit somebody because it's unprotected receiver, but very few receivers ever talk about wanting to run that bang eight like you just talked about. And that tells me more than ever that, yes, I was right when I said it. You remind me the most because I knew nobody else wanted to run it. That's why I was like, I'll run him. Ain't nobody. Those safeties, it's going to hurt them just as much as it hurt me. I'm just holding on to this football.
You know? That's what make it fun, man. By being a bigger dude, you know, you able to get in there, you know, get the ball in the middle of the field. You know, once you kind of even can create some space, you know, get some catch and run opportunities, you know. So it was something in my career, you know, that I hadn't really – I won't even say that I hadn't really run, but I felt like that was more so on the weaker side of my game. And I spent a lot of time last offseason knowing – you know, the plays that we were putting in and kind of where our coordinator came from, that it was specific routes that I hadn't really run before that was going to be prevalent to my success this year. And being able to really work on that and hone in on that and see the success that I had with that, you know, I was very pleased, and it was exciting to be able to sit back and see, you know, some of the plays that I really, you know, would sit back and like, I don't know how much I like running that just based off the simple fact that I didn't think I was that good at it. But really being able to hone in on it, and that was a very, very strong point in my game. It felt good to take something I really didn't do so well to now put that at the top to one of my strengths.
What stuck out in my mind when you talked about the different offenses is I've always said this, AR, I said, you know, man, and I tell young guys, I said, dude, you got to get in the playbook and eat it right now. Because as a wide receiver, if you're leaving the huddle, running to the line, thinking about, okay, what route do I run? You already lost. You got to lead a huddle thinking, how do I win on this route? You got to know the route and start working on how do I win? Because if I'm leaving like, okay, I have and I'm getting the line like, wait a minute, it's over. It's over. You're not winning that route. You know what I'm saying?
At all.
So how did you – that's what I'm saying. So how do you convert that when you said I'm dealing with two different offenses and understand, like, okay, I got to make sure, just for people out there to understand, I got to make sure as soon as I hear this, or what I got to know right now and work on not what I'm running, but how to run it.
Yep. And again, that's being able to want to, again, put myself in the best situation to be able to want to run, you know, anything, you know, and be able to be moved anywhere, you know. So for myself, you know, day one, that's the first thing is, you know, how can I learn as much as I can so that I'm able to be moved around and make as many plays as I can? And that's first thing first. And then the second thing is put myself at an advantage by being able to know that as soon as we break the huddle. So now once I break the huddle, I'm just trying to see what kind of defense they in. Are they in man? Are they in zone? You know, is it cover two, you know, and just kind of based on my release. And because that, like you said, you can't get to the line and start to think, okay, what's my route, you know, because then, you know, the ball is snapped, you know, and now you know, you're getting jammed up at the line and things like that. So once you're able to really know what you're doing, you're able to play that much faster. That's when people talk about that the game slows down because you control the game, you know, and as long as you're in control of the game, you know, you're going to be able to have success.
Two last things, man, before I let you go. A lot of talk about how hard Chicago is going after Russell Wilson. What are your thoughts about that?
You know, any player of that caliber, you know, I think is a instant, you know, game changer and franchise changer. You know, when you look at him and a guy like Deshaun Watson, you know, those two guys right there are two of the best quarterbacks that we have in the game. You know, it's not many like them. You know, when you break down Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes, Dak Prescott, Lamar Jackson, you know, it's not many guys like them dudes now. You know, so hearing those names as far as, you know, possible, you know, plays is, you know, stuff like that is definitely exciting because you know just how good those guys are and what those guys have done. You know, even dating back to when Russell first went to Seattle. You know, Russell has really, you know, changed that whole organization. I feel like I believe reading something saying that since he's been there, they haven't had a losing season.
Right. That's true.
No. And he's won a Super Bowl, been to two Super Bowls, haven't had a losing season. You know, I mean, that's pretty remarkable in this league. You know, we know that everybody sometimes at some point in time, you know, get their head cracked a little bit. But to be able to play in this league and never have a losing season is pretty remarkable.
Now, the other side of that Russell Wilson rumor is they're saying That's why they have to at least tag you and save you, because you're the best player they have, Chicago has, and a possibility of putting you in that trade for Russell Wilson. Now, and I thought to myself, oh my God, how did that? But that would be insane. This man hasn't played with a top flight quarterback, and now you're getting one by trading him. Have you not heard that? If so, what have you thought when you heard that?
I haven't heard that. And even then, you know, stuff like that is, I don't really, you know, think too much of it, because it's so much in that sense that's, you know, out of my control. You know what I mean? And the franchise tag does give you leverage in certain situations, you know. So I haven't really, you know, thought too much into that at all.
AR, do you believe you have a quarterback on staff right now that can lead the Chicago Bears to the Super Bowl?
I think so. Again, I mean, the one that we have right now on staff is Nick Foles. He's been to a Super Bowl and won a Super Bowl, you know, and I think that a lot of people forget that, you know, and just, you know, with the kind of dude that he is, man. And I think it was also tough for him, like you said, having COVID, not having much time to be able to kind of come in and kind of, you know, do the things that he may want it to do, you know, and also with us playing a couple quarterbacks, you know, I do think that, you know, the guy that we have on staff right now, you know, especially with the guys we have around him and the culture that we have, you know, definitely. But again, I know it's already been a lot going on this offseason, you know, so we'll see how the rest of it plays out.
Last question, man. Thoughts on Mitchell Trubisky on the way out. Now, what are your thoughts on Mitchell Trubisky?
Yeah, first and foremost, man, I think that, I mean, he's a great person and a great dude. You know, I got a chance to have my locker next to him for 3 years, you know, and we talk so much more, you know, than just football, and so much more outside of football, you know. And I think that no matter, you know, any ups and downs that he had in his career, something that, you know, I even told him this past season is that, you know, all you can try to do is try to get better and make best of your situation. You know, so what I can say is, man, he's a dude that goes out there to work each and every day and really tries to and wants to get better. And I think that whenever you have that mentality, you know, you have a significant advantage in any kind of situation, you know, because a lot of people don't go through some adversity until they get into their third and fourth year in the league. You know, and by myself going through some adversity and not having the year that I want to have, you know, my third year following the Pro Bowl, you know, I was able to learn a lot from that year and some of the other adversities as far as getting hurt and things like that. You know, I've been able to learn a lot, you know, and as much as I've learned, I've tried to share, you know, with some of the younger guys. And I think that he's a person, by me being able to have a lot of conversation with that, you know, I saw him kind of tune out the noise and really try to lock in and hone in on how he can be better. And I think that, you know, down the stretch, he was able to do a lot of those things.
Johnny Morris, he's the all-time leading receiver for the Chicago Bears. You're about 1,900 yards behind him. I know you said that you want to have a career in Chicago and you want to become the all-time leading receiver in Chicago. How much of a possibility is that? Will that happen for Allen Robinson?
You know, that's, again, I could not, you know, tell you any amount of, you know, how possible or probable that is, you know, but I can say, you know, that, you know, especially, you know, over the past few seasons, I have saw that and I have had that number on my radar for sure. You know, so, I mean, we'll see what happens. You know, I know that, you know, if a long-term deal was to get done, you know, that would be very exciting to be able to, you know, say that, you know, being the all-time leading Bears receiver, you know, but at the same time is, again, I mean, if we get to that and that happens, you know, that'd be great. But also, again, I'm not 100% sure, you know, if that happens or not.
AR, man, thanks for taking the time, man, and continue doing that young Mike Irvin looking thing. Just keep doing
it. No problem.
I
appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Right. Now all you got to do is get some of them things.
I know.
Up
there. I seen them. That's the first thing I saw in the back. As soon as you answered the Zoom, those are the first three things I saw in the back.
I'm sure you'll get there, buddy. Keep doing what you're doing, man, and keeping the rest of everybody up, man. Appreciate the talk, man. Appreciate the talk.
Will do. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, Mike.
All right, buddy.
All righty.
Thanks for downloading the MIP. Check out new episodes of the Michael Irvin Podcast every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.
Microsoft Teams is helping Priority Bicycles reinvent the way they work. When the pandemic hit, the bike shop had to close their New York City showroom. They found a way to reopen by doing virtual visits on Teams. Now, the team can meet with two or three times the number of customers than they could before. And people from all over the world can visit their showroom, learn more about their story and others at Microsoft.com/teams.